Welcome to Day Zero Update for September 29th, 2024. I'm your host, Chris Alochi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Deandra Victoria.
And yeah, we've got a big week this week as a bunch of stuff has been announced.
Oh, yeah.
As sort of the lead up to TGS and a bunch of TGS-related news. I know there's been a ton of news out of TGS itself, but we've had PlayStation State of Play. Xbox had their own TGS show that was okay. Not really a ton to talk about there, but I have a few things that are interesting. Then we had Level 5's show where they announced delays for a bunch of stuff, as they have been doing of late. And then we got a bunch of other stuff going on. So yeah, we'll be talking about all that here as we go. But before we do that, we'll talk about what we've been playing. And I'll kick it off here with Astrobot.
Yeah.
I have finally beat the game. Very nice way to wrap it up. Though I still have a bunch of the side stuff to do for the platinum and all that. So
yep.
Looking forward to getting some more time in there and get the rest of the puzzle pieces and robots that I need to get. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's a really fun way for that game to end. So and a nice little spin on what maybe I was expecting as a kind of test your skills with the various power-ups, essentially, which is a fun way to do that stuff. So yeah, that's been fun. Let's see. I started The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, which has been pretty fun so far. It is from the team that did the Link's Awakening remake for the Switch. Yeah.
Very obviously, too.
Yeah. And they have kind of taken a bit of a different path to making this game, because I guess initially it was made as sort of a Zelda Maker kind of game. But they then decided to kind of spin off into its own thing, as you just have Zelda kind of on her own, as she is. The beginning of the game is sort of a powered up Link fighting Ganon. Pretty easy fight and all, because the point is that he gets sucked into this rift, and with his last bit of strength, he shoots an arrow at the cage or whatever that Zelda's in that cracks, and she breaks out and escapes. And from there, meets up with a character named Tri that has this ability to, once you sort of learn the like recipe or whatever for specific objects or enemies, she can then spawn it a certain amount of times, 3 to start. You get to upgrade that over time. And you're using that to mostly solve puzzles, but as you get a little further in, you get to do that for more combat stuff, spawning enemies. As where I'm at, so I'm in the desert area of the map. And the nice thing is that they kind of, they don't open up everything for you right away, so they kind of let you play it, like go through it in more piecemeal manner, especially because story-wise, they kind of just force you to not be able to do much. They're very hand-holdy with everything. You get a lot of explanation that, you know, we can't bring everybody back easily. We have to go find the entrance point for the rifts, and then you go in, and that's like your dungeons, essentially. You do one early on, and it takes a bit to get used to how it all works, especially because they aren't always great about explaining things. I had one part in the dungeon where they explained the notion that you can send Tri out to essentially grab onto objects. I was struggling like hell to figure out how to solve some of these puzzles in this area. And I was like, oh, I was supposed to do this thing that it does not really hint that you should do. But once I saw that, it adds sort of a new wrinkle to the way everything works, because now you can send out enemies to attack, or send your echoes of enemies out to attack other enemies, and you can sort of hold them in place and allow the creatures you've spawned to attack them sort of freely, and that kind of makes it a bit of an easier experience for some of these creatures. Some are not super receptive to that. They have abilities that sort of break your ability to hold on to them for a while. So that kind of stuff adds some more variety and makes it less of an easy game early on. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And yeah, that's kind of a lot of what I've been doing. Just especially when you run around and you kind of see chests and such off to the side, you're like, well, I'll try and get this because I don't exactly have a ton else to do, and also it'll give you heart pieces and whatnot to work with. So it makes for a nice way of working on things, though. Also, they let you move the camera around with the right stick, so you can actually get kind of a better view of the surroundings around you than I think you tend to have in these kind of games for the Zelda series. Tends to be in these kind of top-down games, you're kind of limited for what you're able to do or able to see. So sometimes you're just not aware of what's all around you, but it's kind of lets you see that stuff more readily. So like in the desert area, there's sort of walls of rock around, and I was able to get up onto that and just kind of walk around and kind of scout out things a bit and see what was all around, that kind of stuff. But yeah, like the only issues I've really had so far has just been the general slow pacing of it early on. As the player may get the gist of what's going on, but the characters have to be walked through it pretty slowly. I've had a couple of bugs where early on they tell you to go to this shack, and you find out it's half covered in the rip, so you can't get at whatever is in there, and you have to go through essentially the dungeon to get rid of the rift and sort of free up whatever is going to be there. And so initially I was going through that, and it pointed me in a direction, but the marker never moved to where I'm supposed to go at. So I had to kind of wander around a bit. Luckily it's a fairly straight path, so I made my way over there, but the markers, they're pretty helpful in sort of telling you exactly where you need to go for things. But I've had it bug out once or twice. So that's been one of the only like issues I've really had with it. But other than that, that game's been a lot of fun so far. So looking forward to put some more time into that. But yeah, it's got nice vibes to it. And the way they don't just let you loose upon the whole open world. They use the rifts to block off access to areas. Kind of lets you more easily kind of digest what's there versus trying to figure out the intended path or ways to break it or whatever. But yeah, it's a fun time. So yeah, there you go. And the last one I've been playing is UFO 50. I've been putting some more time into this, playing some more games. There've been some really cool ones I've been jumping into. One called Pin Golf, which is sort of a 2D golf game. But as you can probably guess from the title, it has pinball elements in it, sort of a lot of like bumpers and such thrown out in the holes. So you need to kind of be careful where you're aiming, because if you end up hitting one of those bumpers, it'll just knock you somewhere else or into a hole or something to waste a stroke. So my first playthrough of a full round of 18 holes, did not do super well, but really enjoyed the seeing sort of what weird things they would do with that. Which is pretty, also have like enemies around on occasion doing stuff, mostly just enemies that hover around in areas that you're trying to avoid, but sometimes you get the right hit that will benefit you. But yeah, that's a fun little game. I forget what some of the other ones I've seen. There's one that's called, I forget what it's called, but they have like a Metroid style game that has elements of VVV, that game where essentially you're reversing gravity. You get to shoot at enemies, all that kind of stuff, but also you're reversing gravity. So platforming around by trying to figure out the sort of orientation you need to approach from, that kind of stuff. And it's pretty cool. Not really too much else to say about it, but it's got a nice style to it. And all that, save rooms are not that common, but I managed to get at least one upgrade so I can go into these heat areas that are just full of extreme survive there. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, still been really enjoying that. I managed to put enough time to start progressing more in Pilot Quest, which is sort of an idler game. That only progresses as far as what it's doing in your off time while you're playing other stuff in the collection or letting it sit at the dashboard. That works as well. But I've managed to upgrade my yo-yo that I attack with. So it's it does twice the damage, I believe. So it makes it a lot easier when I'm going out into the wild zone, which you have to use the meat you've collected to. That turns into time. I've been having a lot of just frustrating time going out there and usually staying out there longer than I should, taking a hit that drastically shortens my time, as every hit you take shortens your timer by 30 to 60 seconds. So those are very valuable hits to try to avoid as best you can. And I usually end up staying out at least one more enemy longer than I should have. Before bailing and just kind of taking what I got. But I got this stronger yo-yo. I can definitely stay out there longer, and I've upgraded my limits for holding stuff so I can have more meat and have more time in that zone to get more stuff and be able to explore the space a lot. Pretty fun to see more of what that has to offer. So, but yeah, that's been UFO 50 for the recent bits. So yeah, that's been all I've been playing. So Brandon, what have you been doing?
As for me, I have been primarily been playing Night in the Woods on my PS5. And you know, just in general, enjoying that game again. I played it a bunch on my PC back when it originally came out. But I never got around to finishing it. I will say that in a lot of ways, there are parts of this game that are easier to navigate with a controller than it was with a keyboard. Specifically, the musical parts are a lot easier. Except, you know, the rhythm is always, just like with the original game, the rhythm is kind of just a bit off. But yeah, and I got around the point, I'm at the point around now where like all the weird supernatural shit really starts to kick off. And yeah, it's just, like I said, that game is just very enjoyable for how, in a lot of ways, kind of small it is. But yeah, and I also, I finished The Plucky Squire, and that was a very charming little game. I loved the idea. I loved the art direction, and the gameplay, all in all, was pretty good. My one issue with it was I did run into a couple of bugs and glitches while I was playing it. The game did freeze on me once or twice. There was one instance where my character straight up just disappeared off the screen, even though the camera was still tracking what was supposed to be their movement. And the other issue was I did come across one instance of a character who I'm pretty sure was not supposed to be blinking in and out of existence constantly, you know, just sort of flickering in and out. But other than that, I mean, the game was pretty good. I will say there are parts of this game that do seem kind of, I don't know, half-baked, I guess it would be the way to put it. But overall, yeah, it was pretty fun, charming little game. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. So, Danrub, what about you?
Yeah, I know it's been a bit since I've been on the show, so I've played quite a bit. First off is Astrobot. I did talk a little bit about it when I was here last. Yeah, since then, I've platinum, and this game is my game of the year, so it is fantastic. It's polished, emotional when it needs to be. It has one of the best endings I've ever played through in any platformer or any game in general. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just makes me wonder what Sony wants to do with this IP moving forward. I mean, Astrobot is a pretty known commodity by now, right? Like, we've had the playroom with the PS4 when it first came out. There was Astrobot Rescue Mission, which as far as I'm concerned, is the best VR game you can play, aside from Beat Saber. And then, you know, Astro's Playroom, included in everybody's PS5, is fantastic. And if you've never touched it, you're absolutely crazy. Like, the game is an homage.
Take me, for example. I did not touch it until Astrobot was coming out and people were...
Now that you've played it, and you've already played Astrobot, like, you enjoyed it, right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
My game of the year so far.
There you go. So Astro's Playroom did a great job exemplifying what the PS5 and the DualSense can do. And Astrobot follows suit. And it's bigger and better. And at the same time, it wasn't too big. You know, I saw that kind of syndrome way back when. Like, I really, really enjoyed Banjo-Kazooie. And then when Banjo-Tooie came out, I felt like it was too big for its own good. Just because the worlds and levels in that game tripled the size. And the funny thing was, there was like 10 puzzle pieces, but you couldn't even tell. Just the overwhelming size of everything. Whereas Astrobot still feels like fairly contained. You know, you have those 5 or 6 worlds to explore, each of them with their own different kinds of themes. And then, you know, the boss fights were awesome. They follow the Nintendo formula of, like, you know, getting hit 3 times. But at the same time, it's like every phase of every boss fight felt like you were fighting the final boss. And once you actually get to the final boss, it was like, oh, wow, they really went all out with this thing. And then, you know, they reward you after you beat the boss by giving you a level that's based on, you know, PlayStation lore. Like in the first world, you get I forget Ape Escape. You get Ape Escape, and then, you know, all of a sudden you have Uncharted, you have Horizon. You know, I don't want to go through the gamut, but, you know,
some of them are definitely surprises. I will say that, like, some of them are kind of deep cuts.
Yeah. Like, so there's quite a few deep cuts with the VIP bots there. With the themed levels you get, they definitely feel like it. Not so much Uncharted. Uncharted was more of a gunslinger kind of game there. But at the end of the day, like, I really enjoyed everything. And, you know, going back to what I was talking about at the beginning, I wonder what Sony wants to do with this franchise moving forward. Because obviously, like, what really made this game especially special was the fact that, you know, not only are you delving through PlayStation history, but you're delving through games history as a whole. You have a whole lot of third-party characters. You know, you have Kiryu in the game. You have Aaron Judge is in the game, like, to represent MLB The Show. You have Ken and Ryu from Street Fighter. Like, this is the crossover that Sony wanted out of PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, but they ended up doing a better job with Astrobot. And yeah, Team Asobi did a fantastic job with this game. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, Astrobot might as well be their mascot moving forward, but I'm wondering what they'll do with future iterations, because can you rely on, like, the whole VIP bot thing all the time moving forward? Like, would that be its identity? Because at the end of the day, like I said, this is a known commodity. There have been games that came out in the first place, and what really sets Astrobot apart was its clever level design. You know, going back to Astrobot Rescue Mission in VR, like, the cool thing with that game was just being able to look through the entire all of the environments and discover, you know, various bots hiding in different places, and they were able to recreate that on the PS5 with Astrobot. So yeah, great game. And, you know, the year is almost up, but this one definitely ranks highly. As far as, like, moving forward, I've been playing a little bit of Mika, and this is an indie game. I'm pretty sure it was inspired by Kiki's Delivery Service, because you end up using a witch who has to, like, deliver things to various places. The game starts off with this little witch trying to become a fully realized witch by just going to the top of the tower, and the teacher witch ends up, like, breaking her broom and tossing her aside, and she has to find a way to go back up to that tower. And in order to get there, she has to fix her broom and make some money. The way she makes money is to make various deliveries. And yeah, it's a cozy game in that right. I'm playing this on Steam Deck, and I'm having but yeah, from what I've played, like, it's been pretty solid. And I'm playing a whole bunch of other stuff, but I'll eventually find my way back to it moving forward. I've still been playing a little bit of Emio the Smiling Man, Famicom Detective Club. Coming off of the Ace Attorney Investigations game, this game was a little bit hard to play just because you know, when you're playing Ace Attorney, they do a good job of like not wasting your time. Like you, when it comes to picking things to say or like what to investigate, the Ace Attorney games pretty much tell you what you've already done, and you know that takes out a whole lot of time. Whereas with the Famicom Detective Club games, they actually require you to do some things over and over again by trial and error. And as a result, if you're not paying close attention, you know, you just end up stuck. There was one point where I spent like 20 minutes just investigating everything. And when I had to investigate the person I was talking to's face, I'm not letting this happen to me again. But yeah, the game has been really good so far. I'm really enjoying the story. So far, we've gotten to a point where we have to like look back at previous cases of kidnappings, and yeah, they're doing a good job with the character development. And you know, compared once again, compared to Ace Attorney and Investigations, there are some real animations here, and it makes it look better as a result. But at the same time, it's like again, like I wish they had a lot of the quality of life improvements that Ace Attorney has, but I also get that it's a different kind of style. I've also played through the Plucky Squire. The game was reviewed by Miles Benza, and I also had a review code as well. I played it on Steam Deck, and then eventually I moved my way onto PlayStation Plus because it was free on there. And yeah, I really enjoyed this game, and I have a lot of similar. My main thing was it spent a lot of time like showing you how to play the game, and then there were some points where they didn't do a good job explaining things at all. One example was one boss where you end up like turning the game into Rezogun, and there was and I love Rezogun, but I forgot that the game was a twin stick shooter, and I just flew around and was pressing buttons, and I thought like the game was broken, and then I realized wait, Rezogun was a twin stick shooter, so I pressed on the right stick and then he was shooting, and like it got to that point where the cool thing about the Plucky Squire is that if some minigames are too hard, you can go ahead and skip them. I almost did that with this, but luckily, you know, I figured out the controls, and this wouldn't have had to happen if they actually just showed you that you could shoot with the right stick, things like that. And the biggest problem I'm having with the game, trophies. So yeah, I completed it. I want to platinum it. It's very possible to do that. The problem is there are these items, the birds. I forgot what they're called, but there are these birds that there's one in every chapter, and the game doesn't actually track the birds you've collected, whereas they track the scrolls you collect. And I'm like, okay, well, why would you track one and not the other? And then the problem is the trophy tracks them, so it's like I have 8 out of 10 of them, but I don't know where the last two are because I don't know which ones that I already have. And yeah, I have to look up a fact. And there was one point where I was towards the end of getting one that I needed, and then the game crashed. So that was pretty frustrating. I see that there's been 2 updates since I've played the game last, so I intend on checking out again soon, but I don't know. And the main game I'm playing right now is Echoes of Wisdom. And, you know, Chris talked a lot about it earlier. What I like about this one is that it definitely feels like a traditional giving you Link and the ability to use the sword. It turns out, though, that it ends up being an ability where, you know, you can become Link for a short period of time and you have the sword and whatnot. So it's really cool, you know, deciding when you want to go ahead and use that ability. But the main thing that I'm having trouble with is just grasping some of the controls. Like, for example, like the key point with this game is being able to use all of the different abilities that you have. But scrolling through them is kind of cumbersome because you have to use the right stick and then use the D-pad in certain areas. And sometimes, like, my mind just can't press on the right things. But eventually, like, when I do, it definitely feels nice. All of the abilities are pretty cool. I definitely find myself using the Dark Nut to attack more often than not just because, like, you know, they have armor. Their attacks are strong. I'm like everybody else. I am using the bed to, you know, solve all my problems, whether it's making a bridge or getting to high places. And yeah, the bed is very reminiscent of the wooden planks from Tears of the Kingdom. You know, you want to build a bridge for everything. And yeah, I've gotten to a point where I've unlocked the horse, so I am just exploring Hyrule to my heart's content. But at this point, I've already gotten, I've already beaten two of the dungeons. There was the first one, and then I acquired the Zoras, and it was cool seeing the Zoras interact with each other. They have both. And the Sea Zoras, which are, you know, the white and blue ones that you originally saw in Ocarina of Time, and later ones. Yeah, definitely really enjoying that one, especially comparing this to Plucky Squire. I thought Plucky Squire had a nice level design, but Echoes of Wisdom, you know, just the fact that we're back with the regular dungeons, it all feels nice. And yeah, this one's really awesome. I'm not seeing a whole lot of the frame skips that a lot of people have been seeing the Link's Awakening remake. So yeah, I'm assuming it'll play out that way. But yeah, I'm also playing one more game that I can't talk about, but that's about it.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news, and we'll take one here out of the State of Play, because they announced the October PS Plus Essential lineup as part of that showcase. Mm-hmm. So we have the three games here for PS5 and PS4. There's WWE 2K24.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check that out, which has been, generally I've heard, one of the better WWE games in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff doing it and all that. So yeah, that's one you can check out. For PS5, there's Dead Space.
Yep.
You can finally check out the remake and see how that went.
Yeah.
Which is good for Halloween month, so there you go. And another game you may not expect to be a Halloween game, but Doki Doki Literature Club Plus.
Oh,
for PS5 and PS4. It's a very sort of, looks like it would be an anime visual novel dating sim kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there is horror stuff under the surface there. And yeah, so that's one you can check out if you want to see something, a game that changes pace pretty quickly. So yeah, there you go for that. So some pretty good games there.
Yeah, generally really good stuff. I'm definitely excited to play the Dead Space remake, because I didn't get a chance to get around to it last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a nice trio of games there. WWE 2K24 is a solid entry. Dead Space is awesome. And Doki Doki Literature Club, if you have not played it, play it. It's free on PC, so it's cool that it's finally free on PC.
Yeah. I believe the version that's free on PC is sort of the prologue of sorts, because
mm-hmm.
They finished it and added more to it. That's kind of what the console was. But yeah, let's get to some more news. There's a demo out now for Metaphor ReFantazio. That's out on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Yep.
So you can check that out and play the prologue, and then transfer that over to the launch. The game, when it launches on October 11th, so you can check that all out.
Yeah, 11th, so I believe that's going to be not this Friday. Yeah, not this Friday, but next Friday.
Yeah.
So I know what I'm downloading tonight.
Yeah, a lot of people are enjoying this demo. I've heard it's like over 8 hours. Obviously, the ability to transfer your save means a lot, so I'll definitely jump into this as soon. It won't be for a while, so I might just jump into it.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything here mentioned, like, unlocks if you play it, so you don't necessarily need to. But yeah, let's get to some things that are coming out here in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
We got Crypt Masters coming out on PlayStation and Xbox on October 3rd. So I believe that's this Friday. And that is a fun-looking game from that has been on PC for a few months now.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a dungeon crawler adventure game. Where you are typing words to solve puzzles or do things or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you have the titular Crypt Master kind of overseeing what you're doing and reacting to the words you're trying to say or type. Mm-hmm. Either reacting smartly or being very sarcastic or just talking shit about you. Seems like it's going to be a pretty good game to check out. So that's one here, though. Obviously, you don't have a keyboard. You type freely, but I assume it's going to let you just type up whenever you need to.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice if it had controller support on consoles. That would be nice, but we'll see how that goes. That one looks nice. And the other one that's coming out this week is Picross Records of the Shield Hero. This is another Picross game that is crossing over with a anime series. This is the Rising of the Shield Hero that I've not seen or really seen much about, but should be a pretty solid, you know, new Picross game. So I'm looking forward to that. So that'll be out October 3rd on the Switch. So yeah, there you go.
That's awesome. I don't know if like Picross games do anything with stories nowadays, but Rising of the Shield Heroes are
They don't really put too much of the story in there. You might get some extra material showing stuff off. It mentions clip Picross and extra also recreate famous scenes with large puzzles, so you get to at least see some of that stuff recreated. So that's cool. Another game you should probably check out is coming out on PS5 and Xbox Series X and S on October 8th, and it's To the Moon. This is a mostly a narrative game, but I believe it was made in RPG Maker.
Yep.
One of those games that's...
One of the OG RPG Maker success stories, really.
Yeah. A narrative game that was... pretty well lauded back in the day on the PC when it launched quite a while ago. I forget, maybe 10 years ago or so. So yeah, nice that people will be able to check it out on consoles. Should be pretty cool. So yeah.
Yeah. This game actually already came out on Switch a few years ago. So
it's
like it's been on the console for the first time, but either way, you know, this is a really nice RPG Maker game. It is a little rough around the edges, but again, it is an RPG. Things that are just dedicated to it. But at the end of the day, it's also one of the less than 3 hours. So I definitely recommend. Now that's on PlayStation, I'll probably pay for trial.
Yeah, it looks like it'll be $10, so pretty good price for. Then we got the games that are not coming out this year.
Yep.
Particularly, Assassin's Creed Shadows got surprisingly delayed to February 14th, 2025. Which I would maybe say they're going to have to delay it again because, as we'll tell you, more games are coming out in February. And so if they want to stand out more, maybe March would be better for them. They announced this as sort of a response to the way that Star Wars Outlaws kind of came out and did fine, but not as well as they expected, and has kind of had enough issues that they are sort of making a big deal of working on that for the next couple of months here, trying to get the performance and bugs squished and get it sort of where they want it to be, where they probably should have had it for launch. But so as I say here, Assassin's Creed Shadows is a dream project for us, finally bringing the series to feudal Japan with many features developed with our community in mind, such as parkour or the renewed stealth brought by new technology, all set in a beautiful and immersive world. Ask him here, I'm just doing ad stuff. As such, we've made the decision to postpone the release date to February 14th. The game will release on a broad range of platforms, including Steam at launch. Additionally, pre-orders will be refunded, and all future pre-orders will be granted the first expansion for free. We understand this decision will come as disappointing news, especially those who've been waiting patiently for an Assassin's Creed game inspired by feudal Japan. But we sincerely believe this is in the best interest of the game and ultimately your experience as a player. Assured, we are looking forward to the moment you will embark on a memorable adventure with Naoe and Yasuke. Until then, we thank you for your ongoing support. This is a bit of a surprise because Assassin's Creed has been a pretty reliable game as far as bringing in money for them, and that's they're kind of foregoing a fall launch for that. Does a lot to the state of Star Wars Outlaws and probably also the state of this game, that they want to make sure it's as good as possible and make sure they have it on Steam at launch, which has not been a thing for them for a while, so I'm sure they've seen the numbers for the games that have been coming seem later and seeing like maybe we should have that at launch to make it look as good as possible on our books. And especially when they are canceling the season pass or departing from it, at least initially, making the first expansion free for all that pre-order. The next game to kind of juice up the numbers and make it seem like it's a more valuable way to go. Go in and pre-order the $70 edition and not worry about at least getting some DLC expansion stuff for free. So yeah, kind of interesting to see Ubisoft kind of taking this path for this game.
Well, I guess it's because they're kind of trying to internalize the lessons they learned last time from a few years ago when they tried to annualize it and everything, and the whole series just became a mess.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's weird. Like, even though we can complain about Assassin's Creed, it is something that, like, consistently does well for them, both, you know, as far as sale. It's really weird because I don't think we've ever seen an Assassin's Creed delayed out of the year. This is typically, like, their shining jewel every year, so just seeing this happen is it's a real bummer, especially if you were looking forward to, you know, as we'll talk about later, like another game that's compared to Assassin's Creed is getting its sequel, and it looks a whole lot better in just about in every way. So yeah, moving it into 2025 during another crowded month that also includes Monster Hunter and, you know, Yakuza. That's, yeah, like, I feel sorry for anybody who was looking forward to it. And then, as you know, I'm not going to talk about, you know, knowing about sales. It's definitely a real bummer, especially with Ubisoft and at its lowest stock price in a while. But what I do think is good news is, you know, launching day and date for both console and Steam. Obviously, we've seen Square PC rather quickly over these last few months and capture that.
Yeah, because they've been tending to just stick to the Ubisoft launcher. That probably does fine for them, but they would probably like to get more people there at launch, and it seems like they're going to stick to doing Steam at launch for all their games. So that'll probably help them out, at least on the financial end. But yeah. But yeah, speaking of delayed games, we knew Tales of the Shire, the Lord of the Rings game, had been delayed to next year. Now we have a date, March 25th. So that is at least a date in a month that does not have a bunch of games at the moment. So that may be a pretty good place for them to be ready. So yeah, that's good to see. See how that game turns out.
Yeah, I didn't actually know this was getting delayed. Maybe it was a week prior, but it's good that it has a date. And, you know, from what I play at Summer, hopefully it comes out during a time where it's not too crowded. But at the end of the day, it's a nice little cozy game. Hopefully it's...
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll keep the train going. Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time, we knew that was delayed to 2025. Mm-hmm. Now we know at least it's intended to release in April. No specific date yet, but as Level 5 has been of late, not so keen on getting games out as soon as they thought they would.
Yeah. And the thing is, they, on top of that, they always like announce new projects alongside it. So there is a weird timing issue with them.
Yeah. And it seems like this may also be coming to other platforms. As they said, the new release window is scheduled for April 2025. A new addition is the vast open world area, which grants players even greater freedom in their adventures. New movement options let you flexibly explore various terrains. You can even swim. On top of that, you can ride many different mounts from journey to journey across the expansive world however you like. Furthermore, the new quick life change feature makes gameplay a lot smoother, more accessible. We have incorporated feedback for many test players and continue to refine the game's quality. So at least being very upfront about the work that they're going, that they're doing as a result of this extra time. So that's good. We'll see what else happens with this, but for now they're saying April. Then they followed it up with, this is part of their whole event, Level 5, about the children in the world, whatever that event was called. Announced that Inazuma 11 Victory Road has been or was delayed from its 2024 release window to June of 2025. That'll be on PlayStation, Switch, PC, and iOS and Android. So yeah, that's some extra time to keep working on that. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Though now they're saying we'll have two games out within about 3 months. So best of luck on that level 5. Then they also announced a delay for Deca Police. We knew that was, like, originally they said 2023 on this, but now mm-hmm. It's planning to be out by 2026. I think partly because they are doing, as they've done for some things, like a multimedia property here, is they're planning on an anime, and I guess it won't be ready for a couple of years here, so they are aiming to have the game out in 2026. Mm. So that's PlayStation, Switch, and PC. The PC version being new for that one. So yeah, kind of just level 5 laying out all of their delays. Be more interested in, or just put it in the background for a while until they see it actually be ready to. But yeah, that's kind of been level 5's thing of late. They've only put out, I think, one game lately. It was the Megaton Musashi game last mm-hmm. fall, or no, a few months ago. Mm. But yeah, that's been it.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch the level 5 presentation, but a lot of the games are titles that, like, you know, match my alley. I never played the original Fantasy Life on 3DS, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. Hopefully next year where it's, you know, good for it. And Deca Police, I believe that one was actually a Switch exclusive that was supposed to release last year. So seeing a 2-year yep. delay is crazy. But at the same time, seeing it coming out for everything is probably the right decision. So looking forward to that, but 2026 is so far away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the second game we've seen so far in any sort of showcase that has gotten a 2026 date.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go on that. Luckily, they did announce two new games. There's one called Holy Horror Mansion.
Yep.
Kind of their new big property, as they describe it, as a Ghostcraft RPG. Mm. The theme of this title is family. From the story to the game design, we aim to create an experience for the whole family to enjoy together. Doing it as a family, I wonder what that means. Partnering with top entertainment companies, Holy Horror Mansion will be our largest cross-media project. Release schedule and platforms will remain unannounced for now. We'll hold a cross-media showcase for the game in spring 2025, reveal related merchandise and media plans. Kindly ask you to stay tuned for further updates. Yeah, this is intended to be like their successor to Yo-Kai Watch, of sorts, because that was a big, huge deal in Japan for mm-hmm. several years.
Mm-hmm.
And this looks pretty neat from the teaser trailer they have here. Especially has a nice style to it. And especially like a nice logo for the look of that. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
That'll be out at some probably at least 2026, if not later.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. But seems like they're gonna have anime and lots of merchandise and all that. So.
Oh yeah.
That'll be fun. Especially this is kind of a bit more on like the Luigi's Mansion kind of vibe to it versus mm-hmm. the Pokemon kind of end of things.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, there's that, and then they also announced a remake of the original Inazuma 11 mm-hmm. called Inazuma 11 RE
mm-hmm.
For PlayStation, Switch, and PC. That's also planned to be out in 2026. As I said here, we will remake the first Inazuma 11 game. It retells Mamoru Endo's first story with various new features, ensure not only fans but also new players can enjoy it, greatly improving accessibility. Get ready for Inazuma 11's return with stunning new visuals. Expect to release the game in 2026. Yeah, I think this was a 3DS game originally that had a lot of touch control stuff, so you adapt it to analog sticks. So, yeah, I think that's it for your level 5 news of import. So, yeah, that's some stuff to check out in the future.
Mm. All right. Yeah. Sounds good. I mean, it is, other than the fact that, you know, it's a bunch of good stuff that looks good, and I'm happy to it. I just, again, it's like all these delays and announcing new projects at the same time. It's just kind of throwing me off.
Yeah, they like to spin plates.
Yeah.
They don't know how to end that. How to stop spinning them, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see what else we got here. We got Behavior Interactive. Mm-hmm. After laying off a number of people over the last couple of months, they've acquired Red Hook Studios, which is the studio behind the Darkest Dungeon games.
Yeah.
Seems like it's made up of 29 team members, and they'll just let it continue to function independently within Behavior Interactive. So
mm-hmm.
seems like they're just going to like acquire them and say like, hey, you do your thing because it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And that will be money and people we don't have to worry about too much. So keep doing your thing. That's basically mm-hmm. what they're saying here. Our acquisition of Red Hook is another emphatic step towards their library of exceptional. It's just saying they make games of a similar vibes of what they've been making with Dead by Daylight and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this one has different gameplay, obviously, is a roguelite kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
It's about punishing you with how stressed out and depressed your team can get. So,
mm-hmm.
Hoping this works out for everybody.
I hope.
We'll see. But yeah, there you go on that one.
Mm.
And that'll do it for the main announcements. We'll get to some stuff here with the Xbox Tokyo Game Show 2024 showcase,
mm-hmm.
Which was kind of a snoozer because a lot of it was here's the Japanese voice acting for Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Like, yeah, okay, sure. But doesn't really add too much. We already have that stuff. They're doing an Overwatch 2 My Hero Academia collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you get those characters. It means a handful of Overwatch characters are doing My Hero mm-hmm. Academia cosplay.
Yeah.
Which isn't always great, but other stuff here, they're bringing StarCraft Remastered and StarCraft 2 to PC Game Pass and Ultimate Game Pass. Game mm-hmm. Pass Ultimate. A thing that I didn't know, but I think was just also recently announced, is that they are, this will just be StarCraft Remastered and StarCraft 2's campaign collection.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume all three games worth of campaigns.
Yeah.
StarCraft, the original game, will still be free to play as it has been. Mm. And they're spinning off the multiplayer of StarCraft 2 into a free to play thing. So those will continue to be free to access. So that's an interesting thing they're doing there. There you go. That'll be on PC Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate. If you have either of those, you can check it out on PC. Mm. They're not doing console versions as far as I know. Square Enix is putting out some stuff. The two of the Mana games,
mm-hmm.
Legend of Mana and Trials of Mana, which are both on Game Pass now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also putting the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster Collection on Xbox. Mm-hmm. That's out now as well. But that's not on Game Pass. You're going to have to give them $75 if you want to play those six games. So there's that. And yeah, not really much else. We got to see more of Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see a bunch more of the characters that are remade in sort of modern style.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't look as great as others do, but
yeah,
they show more Slitterhead, which is like, yeah. Talked about the Metaphor or Fantasio demo, all that, but I did highlight a few things here that are pretty interesting. There's a slice of life kind of game called Tanuki Pond Summer,
mm-hmm.
Where you're playing as a Tanuki mailman, delivering mail for the town and delivering packages. You can do some other stuff, competing in sports, make sushi and other fun stuff. Mm-hmm. As you build up your friendship and loyalty with the inhabitants of this area, for that, and help rebuild the town or the shrine, particularly. And yeah, that looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's out at some point, but this is coming to Xbox, Switch, and PC. Like, Switch and PC were already known, but this was, I'm saying it was going to be on Xbox, so there's that. Then there's Threads of Time, which is an indie turn-based RPG focusing on time travel. That's been announced so far just for Xbox and PC, but
we'll probably
come to other stuff that looks pretty neat.
It is very heavily inspired by Chrono Trigger. Like, it very heavily inspired by Chrono Trigger. Like, almost to a fault, but it looks amazing.
Yeah. It's got that tilt shift perspective to it, so you're getting a lot of locale, version of the locales and such, so. But yeah, that looks cool. That'll be out at some point. Then we got Sinduality Echo of Ada. This is one that's been announced for a while. It's a Bandai Namco game. This is actually coming out January 23rd. PlayStation 5, Xbox, Series X and S, and PC for $40 from Bandai Namco. The developer is called Game Studio. So there you go. Pre-orders will include 7 days of early access to the game. Check it out starting January 16th.
Yeah.
There's a $70 and $100 Ultimate Edition. Any more DLC to it. It looks very live service-y kind of game. This is sort of a future, I don't know if it's a future Earth or a similar looking planet, but essentially the surface of the world has been wiped out of humanity and such, and these dangerous creatures called Enders have taken over, xenomorphic creatures, so aliens, as well as various toxic stuff happening on the surface of the planet. You're kind of coming out of the underground to the surface to fight Enders and all that kind of stuff for loot and resources. Certainly seems like a game that people would be making, so. But you do get this. I forget if you're, I think you're like in a big mech suit kind of thing. And you have like a little humanoid AI robot buddy that helps you out. Yeah. Which it sounds like the little cat dudes for Monster Hunter, the felines. So that's what that kind of sounds like there. And the last one here, All You Need Is Help from Q Games, the fun little co-op puzzler. Shadow dropped on the 26th, so it's out now. On everything, PlayStation, Switch, Xbox, and PC. It's also on Game Pass. Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass at $20 regularly. This is a four-player game that can only be played with four players. So you cannot play solo and like manage the other characters that are, they're all in kind of Tetris, you know, style shapes of sorts, trying to solve these puzzles. But yeah, it's weird that they would be that limiting to it. Otherwise, you have to play with other people. And you can do local play, but it also has to have four people accounted for, though they do support the ability to have two players on one controller. I assume using one side for one player, and you could have two controllers essentially, but it has to be four players playing of sorts. Cool. So that kind of really put a damper on the game for me. Somebody wanted to check out this cute little puzzle game, but yeah, I might see what the limitations are for it and see how limiting it is, what sort of online options they have for matchmaking or whatever. But yeah, so that's mostly what's in the Xbox TGS showcase. Not really a ton, but if you were more focused on Japanese games and such, they had some interesting little announcements there. But yeah, the big one of the week was the PlayStation State of Play, where they announced a bunch of stuff here. We'll kind of move through this as we go. Let's see. Yeah, Astrobot, we got free DLC for that. That is coming later this year. That adds some more speedrun levels to the game. Five new online speedrun levels and 10 new bots. That are at least inspired by Helldivers characters and Eve from Stellar Blade. Maybe some other stuff as well. But yeah, that'll be fun to see. Some more of that going on. That's about all they announced for that. Then we got to see The Midnight Walk, which is A studio that was formed of former devs working on Lost and Random and Fae. They have formed a new developer called Moonhood, and Midnight Walk is their first game, which is sort of a claymation, dark fantasy, first-person adventure game, as they've modeled everything in clay and then scanned it in, so it has a really striking look to it. This is playable with just PS5 or with PSVR 2 as well. It can also be on PC as well to play normally or with a VR headset there. So that'll be out next year at some point. But that looked as a spooky sort of adventure horror game kind of thing from characters. So there you go. Then we got another game here called Hell Is Us. This one decidedly less spooky than the Midnight Walk, but this is a third-person action-adventure game that focuses on melee. You have a semi-open world to explore, and fighting a lot of hostile creatures, I guess. Your drone and sword form from a different age are your faithful allies as you cut a path through lands infested with terrifying chimeras. Travel to unravel the mystery of their appearance. Yeah, it kind of seemed like a Souls-ish kind of game for that, but maybe that was just the way they were showing this off. But that would look like it could be interesting, but this is from Nacon. So we'll see how that one turns out.
Yeah.
Let's see, we got Metro Awakening, the PSVR 2 and also PCVR entry in the Metro series is coming out November 7th. This will be a $40 game to check out. That looks like that's going to be pretty cool. Those good spooky vibes from Metro.
Oh, yeah.
There. Then we got Archeage Chronicles. It's an online action RPG that'll be out next year at some point for PS5, Xbox, and PC. This was formerly called Archeage 2.
Yeah.
But they have spun it out a little bit more as a big open online action RPG kind of thing with some MMO elements to it. So be able to play by yourself or with other people and fight a bunch of enemies and all that kind of stuff. So that looks pretty neat. That'll be out next year at some point. So there you go for that one. Then we got a little bit of a surprise. Pow World is out now for PS5. Sort of a bit of a interesting timing on this as we heard about the lawsuit last week between Nintendo and the Pokemon Company and Pocket Pair. So this is interesting timing, and also that this game is not launching in Japan yet. There's no release date for that yet, so no idea if that's tied to the lawsuit or whatever, but
we'll go find out.
That's out now, so there you go. Pretty decent game. The one we're checking out. Let's see, then we started getting some good surprises. We got Lunar Remastered Collection for PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. Due out next spring. This is Lunar Silver Star Story and Lunar 2 Eternal Blue. That looks pretty neat. It's doing a bunch of work on the visual stuff too. Make it look pretty nice. They're not really changing a ton of the visual stuff, but we are getting some nice up-res visuals. I believe I don't know if they're doing a new localization. I feel like this is like the one series where like localization is a big deal, of whether it's the original one or the one that they did for the PSP releases, or if it's going to be a new one from that. Because it's, I think the original localization was not good. Like a lot of JRPGs had at that point.
But it still ended up being a real cult classic back in the day. So very, very highly regarded, partly due to the fact that it was actually kind of hard to get a hold of. Like, they didn't really publish a lot of copies of this. So it kind of became like one of those word of mouth type deals.
Okay, so it has classic remastered mode for the visuals, I think. They have widescreen support now, revamped PS1 pixel art. high definition animated cutscenes. You can play with Japanese or English subtitles and voices.
Mm-hmm.
But they've also added French and German for that. You have speed options.
Mm.
Make the battles a little faster. And new options have been added to the original strategy settings for streamlining. Yeah, seems pretty solid. Be curious when that comes out. But yeah, that'll be another big sort of cult favorite JRPG series kind of getting a new life here.
Mm-hmm.
That's one to check out. And then... then we got some news on TMNT, Shredder's Revenge. I think this leaked out a bit early that they are doing new DLC called Radical Reptiles that features Mondo Gecko and Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Those are in the original show. They're going to be playable now. I think it's like $5 DLC to add those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And alongside that, there's a new update that adds a remixed OST to the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a bunch of guest remixers like Anamanaguchi, Button Masher, Big Kaufman, Keiji Yamagishi, and Tomoya Tomita. Mm-hmm. Doing some new remixes on songs and such, so you can check out those new songs out in the game as well. That's cool. Still rad. Then we got a bit of a surprising announcement. Sonic and Shadows Generations is coming out soon, and obviously the Sonic the Hedgehog 3 movie is coming out pretty soon as well. They announced that they are doing a movie pack DLC. They'll be out December 12th. That'll essentially allow Keanu Reeves to be voicing Shadow in. I think it's some specific levels they're doing that are based on parts of the movie. They say play through a unique level inspired by the movie Sonic the Hedgehog 3, featuring the voice of Keanu Reeves as Shadow. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's going to be free pack, but it's included in the digital deluxe edition, so maybe it's not free.
Mm.
I figure you'd do that to promote the movie some more. I know Sonic Sickos will pay for it either way.
Mm.
So yeah, that's Keanu Reeves in another game that you weren't expecting, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Then we got to see a bit of Fantasia Neo Dimension. That's the new game from Hironobu Sakaguchi, the creator of Final Fantasy, and probably his last game. This one that was on Apple Arcade a few years ago, and it's kind of getting a console release now on December 5th for PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. So there you go for that. We got to see some gameplay of Dragon Age The Veilguard, which is out on PS5, Xbox, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
As is tradition, it's a big dragon fight. So,
yep.
Complete with a funny dialogue when a second one shows up of a guy just yelling second dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, that's pretty good. But yeah, the game looks pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want this game to be good. And I've been seeing a lot of things that seem to suggest that, yeah, it's actually going to be pretty solid when it comes out. But in, you know, BioWare, they really got to nail it with this one. Like, absolutely. They got to nail it. Because otherwise, they might be in danger.
Yeah. Let's see. We got new Alan Wake 2 DLC as part of their expansion pass. It's called The Lake House. Which I don't know the context of this, if this is the original lake house from the first game or not, or some version of it. But yeah, you will play this in the lake house where it seems like a bunch of shit has gone down inside. A bunch of dead people in the teaser they've shown in the entrance to the place. So yeah, that'll be fun. You can check it out in October. So sometime soon, they'll have a date on that probably pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But there you go. Then we got the announcement of Hitman World of Assassination is getting a PSVR 2 support. I don't know if this is going to be just added to the game itself or a new version of the game. They have mentioned that it'll be available to people that own it already on the PS5 for $10 to upgrade to the PSVR 2 version. So that looks cool. And it's a bit different than the other versions of this game that have been out there. Because on MetaQuest, I think there was a version that was like had a more stylish look to it, but also was like very few maps from the game. People had issues with that, but this looks like the exact stages and all that from the base game. So I'm looking forward to that because I did not play much of the original PSVR version back when that came out, but yeah, looking forward to this. I get to do a bunch of weird stuff. Let's see. Then we got another bit of a surprise. I think this leaked earlier in the day. Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver 1 and 2 Remastered. A collection of those two games for PS5 or PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. That'll be out December 10th, the right near the end of the year, with the two Legacy of Kain games. They've done some visual upgrades. Swap between them if you want. Probably done some other quality of life stuff, but yeah, this will be going through Aspyr, so it'll be good or not. That's been a reputation lately.
I remember playing and very much enjoying the original Soul Reaver back on the PlayStation back in the day, and it was a really good game. But I'm just going to say up front, I'm definitely going to do the remastered version over the original, because the one thing about the original is that the visuals were so dreary, they were almost incomprehensible. Yeah. So, you know, just FYI for anyone who's wanting to play the originals.
Yeah.
They're good games, but the visuals are very muddy.
Yeah. Although I've seen the shitty people are up in arms of the remastered visuals.
Yeah.
I think they've, there's a statue that they showed in the trailer of a lady, and it looks a little bit differently in the upgrade God's version. Sake. They're like, oh, they made her look less hot or whatever. And it's like, all right, good luck with that. But yeah. There's that. Then we got to see Fear the Spotlight. That is out October 22nd. This is one of the Blumhouse games that we saw during Summer Game Fest. This is the one that has sort of a PS1 visual style to it. That looks pretty cool. If you like your horror games, especially your like teenager horror games, set in high school, it's getting a lot of weird shit going on. That'll be out October 22nd on everything, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. You can check that out. Then we got to see Towers of Agazba. This is like an open world life sim fantasy builder kind of thing. Do it. Three types of unique ecosystems to restore and grow, three types of towns to construct, 40 creatures to unlock, a bunch of plants and decoration stuff to do, activities and all that. So they're going in early access in November. This will be out on PS5 and PC in early access. So that seemed neat. Has a bit of a weird art style too. That's cool. You can play it in co-op and all that. So there you go. We got an update for LEGO Fortnite. It's getting split screen support in November, so you can play with friends locally. Then we got a date for Dynasty Warriors Origins of January 17th. Going for a very early launch in the year. I'll see if that works out for them. There you go for that.
And I am glad that they're apparently stepping back and going back to sort of basics, because they did that one time where they were trying to make it like an open world game, and it just did not work. It did not work at all.
So they'll be doing that, see how that goes. Then we got Monster Hunter Wilds. They showed off some more of that. And then we got a date of February 28th, so that's cool. That's out the same day as Like a Dragon, what's it called, Pirate Yakuza. So yeah, you have to make your hard decisions there of whether you want to be in Hawaii or out there fighting monsters. So
yeah,
but yeah, that'll be out early next year, making February a very crowded month.
Yeah, and this one actually looks really fun. This might actually be the first Monster Hunter game I actually try. There, a lot of the characters have a lot more personality in general, so yeah.
I would say maybe since you have PS Plus, maybe check out World or Monster Hunter Rise.
I might
test it out before you check out the new one. But yeah, let's see. Let me start getting to more Sony announcements here. LEGO Horizon Adventures will be out November 14th for PS5, Switch, and PC. Let's see. Yeah, I was trying to see if they had a price for that, but I haven't seen it yet. But there you go for that. So that'll be out pretty soon. And then they followed that with the announcement of Horizon Zero Dawn Remastered, which is out October 31st, so that you can check out that. Yeah, it looks like it'll be PS5, PC. If you have Zero Dawn already, you can upgrade to Remastered for $10. They basically seem to explain this as they are upgrading the game to the sort of visual fidelity of the Forbidden West. Upgrading Zero Dawn to Forbidden West level of fidelity and all that. So they kind of enhanced the character models and such, made the world and lighting and all that look real nice and all that. So yeah, I may check that out, especially as just a means of doing my New Game Plus run on that. And yeah, this also includes for people that got the game from the Play at Home initiative a few years ago during the COVID lockdown. So you can also pay $10 if you got that game that way. Yeah, it'll be $50 otherwise on PlayStation Store, Steam, or Epic Game Store. Yeah, so yeah, that's pretty cool. And I believe they're also adding a bunch of the accessibility stuff they added in Forbidden West as well, so
yep,
that's good. And then we got some Stellar Blade news. They're adding a photo mode update for a bunch of that stuff, and also announced a collaboration DLC with Square Enix for Nier Automata, because that very much was the game that influenced Stellar Blade. It's like the one game that Square Enix is allowing to collaborate with everything else out there if they want it.
Yeah, and that's partly because of Yoko Taro. But yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the game cribbed so much from Nier Automata that they might as well.
Yeah, I don't think we have much details on what the DLC is about, but yeah. And they've also put the soundtrack on Select. Listen to it outside of the game. Yeah, and then they were talking about PS Plus stuff here. We mentioned the Essential lineup, but they also announced that Dino Crisis and Legacy of Kain Blood Omen are coming to PlayStation Plus Premium's Classic catalog later this year. Soon it'll be the October lineup, because both of those are very Halloweenish kind of games.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Dino Crisis is basically just Resident Evil if it was in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
like, straight up, that's just what it is.
Yeah, one of those games that people that really like it do not shut up about it. Capcom has refused to do anything else with it. Since the third game on the original Xbox. So yeah.
And as for Blood Omen, that is basically a top-down kind of Zelda-like gameplay-wise, but story-wise, it's very different. You're basically playing like a vampire nobleman trying to get revenge. Basically starts the whole Legacy of Kain series in general. And it's actually like, it's one of, it's famous for being sort of one of the early success stories for Silicon Knights. And Dennis Dyack, you know, who famously kind of went off the deep end and mismanaged the company into the ground. But it's also famous because it's an early design joint from Amy Hennig. So, yeah. And it's also just a damn good game.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go for that. And also as part of the PS Plus game catalog, they announced that part of the... Because they have... what is it? Last of Us Day. I forget what the specific name for the holiday they have for it. But part of that, they are putting The Last of Us Part 1 on the PS Plus game catalog.
Mm-hmm.
So you have extra or premium. You can check that out as of now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play that game finally. So that's cool.
Mm. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So that, yeah. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we got to see some PS5 Pro games as they talked a bit more about that. Kind of the more interesting things they put up this blog post. With more information on what a bunch of the games that are going to be getting updates for it are specifically going to be doing. So you can read that and check that out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that includes Horizon Forbidden West, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and a remake, I believe, as well as getting an update.
Mm-hmm.
The Last of Us Part II Remastered, Hogwarts Legacy, mm-hmm. Gran Turismo 7, and F1 24.
Yeah.
Bunch of games, so that's something there.
Mm. Still not convinced to get a PS Pro.
You don't necessarily need it, but for mm-hmm. the people that are very much interested in that, seems like they're going to be doing some good work on that. So, yeah, there you go for that. And they ended on a banger here, announcing the next. Game in the Ghost of Tsushima series is mm-hmm. Ghost of Yotei. Set around the region of Yotei.
Yep.
Sort of a big part of the backdrop here.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring set 300 years in the future, or more than 300 years in the future, at about 1603.
Mm-hmm.
More than 300 years after the events of Ghost of Tsushima. Set in the land surrounding Mount Yotei. Towering peak in the heart of Ezo. But this is an area of Japan known as Hokkaido. In present day, this
mm-hmm.
This area was sort of outside the lands of Japan that were patrolled by the samurai clans and all that. So,
yep.
Kind of in a no man's land of sorts. And you seem to be playing a woman named Asta or Atsu,
mm-hmm.
who is. Not a samurai. She's not described at any point as a samurai, though.
Nope.
People are very much like, there weren't female samurai. Not a samurai. She's described as a hunter.
Yeah, the samurai were not just regular-ass mercenaries. They were a specific social class that were very much established in feudal Japanese society. Okay, yeah. I swear.
Yeah, she's described as a wandering warrior, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you're seemingly tasked with the idea of hunting a bunch of samurai
mm-hmm.
And such with a bullseye on your back of sorts.
Mm.
So that's kind of cool.
Mm.
The actor they've got to portray Atsu here is Erika Ishii, mm-hmm. who's rad. She's done a bunch of good work in.
Oh, yeah.
She's very much not taking shit from people that are mad about playing as a woman.
Yeah.
she's been blocking people on Twitter, and they're like, oh, how can you promote the game if you're blocking people? It's like, because you're idiots.
Yeah, because you, like, who are you? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You're not, you're just some weird nerd on Twitter. Who gives a crap?
Yeah.
The last game did gangbusters. This game is going to sell like crazy too, with or without you.
Yeah, it's and it looks fantastic from the trailers we've seen.
Oh yeah, and the neat thing is, it's like because of the time period, it means that a lot of new elements get brought into the game. Like for example, we finally get access to firearms. at this time of period. Like the very primitive, you know, flintlock ones, but still, like that's really cool. It brings a whole new area of strategy to the game.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And yeah, that's going to be out next year at some point. They don't have a date for it yet. But that's cool to see that we'll be able to check it out sometime next year, probably in the late summer, early fall, I think.
Probably.
Yeah, that'd be fun to see. So yeah, that's the showcase. Got some good stuff. But yeah, what'd you think about it, Brandon? Stuff you're looking forward to and all that?
Oh yeah, there's definitely some stuff I'm looking forward to. Definitely the Legacy of Kain one, because I have not played that game in a long time, and I want to, you know, and of course the difference is I'm hoping the version that they put up there, the one thing they'll hopefully have fixed is the crazy loading times that that game originally had, because that was like the one thing everybody almost to a man would say that was the one major downside to that game. But on top of that, let's see. Obviously, Dragon Age: The Veilguard. I'm definitely going to be playing that. You know, crossing my fingers, hoping it turns out awesome. Obviously, the free DLC for Astrobot. I am all over. And yeah, Lunar Remaster Collection. That's also definitely something that I am wanting to do, because again, that was one of those JRPGs back in the day that everybody who loved JRPGs talked about, but only a handful of people ever got to actually play it. So, you know. But yeah, that's about it for me.
How about you, Dan Reb?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird because, like, you know, hardcore fanboys would be like, oh, PlayStation didn't really. This pretty much was their chance to show off what's going to happen for the rest of it and then going into next year. So, you know, ending with Ghost of Yotei is obviously a huge. I touched upon it a while ago when we were talking about Assassin's Creed. Like, what sucks for Assassin's Creed is that this game coming out in 2020, if they hit that date, you're instantly forgettable. And that sucks because, like, yeah, it looks awesome. Of course, we're seeing the negative attention from people that don't like wokeness, whatever the hell you want to talk about. But yeah, the game looks awesome. You know, we're seeing a different side of Japan, as Brandon mentioned, where we're going to see guns and all that stuff. And, you know, I expect the main character in this game to be totally awesome. And really looking forward to that game. But yeah, like, aside from that, like, we don't know coming from PlayStation, aside from all of the leaks that happened with Insomniac, and obviously with all that, I'm surprised to that extent. I'm surprised we haven't seen a Wolverine. But yeah, with what was shown on State of Play, like I was more than satisfied. You know, I already talked about Ghost of Day. The Astrobot free DLC looks awesome, especially with all the new VIP bots they've added. Lunar Remastered Collection was probably my second most favorite announcement out of this. Like, I didn't think Lunar would be remade in any way, just because, like, I think the main thing that really apart from a lot of RPGs during that generation was the whole anime cutscene thing, and I'm not sure if they actually had all the rights to everything, which led to taking this long for it to be remastered, but I'm glad it's coming. And then, you know, Fantasia Neo Dimension, that was seen on the Nintendo Direct, and I'm glad it's coming to PlayStation as well. Alan Wake 2 looked good. That's one game that I never got into last year because they never version, and we're gonna get one later this year. And then the other big one, you know, you guys talked about it for a minute, was on Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver. These were games that I did not play before, but I've heard nothing but great things about the people that like that genre, and I am all about that.
Well, like I said, those are early Amy Hennig joints. So if you as far as Soul Reaver is concerned, I mean, that was like her first like major writing direct job. So yeah, if you liked the work she did on Uncharted, you're gonna love Soul Reaver.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on that. The thing that's scary is that it's coming out in December, and December is usually where you send all games out to die. So that's a little tough in that regard. And then of course Lego Horizon Adventures, you know, that's something whimsy that was announced during Summer Game Fest, and I can't wait to get my hands on that. And a lot of the remakes are annoying, especially like having Horizon Zero Dawn remastered when they already put out a 4K resolution update earlier in the PS5 generation. So it's kind of weird to do, but I understand it. But yeah, like everything here looks like they're hitting with all cylinders. You guys talked a little about the PS5 Pro. I personally do not care about it either. The only reason why I did was because I wanted a 30th anniversary collection, but obviously not before I got a chance. Rest in peace there. But I might be interested in the Slim. I'm already talking about something else entirely. Yeah, there's a lot to be excited for. This was a really jam-packed state of play. Some things were a little more boring than others. Pal World was interesting, but yeah, like just ending it with, or starting it with Astrobot and ending it with the Ghost of Yotei definitely leaves a lot to be excited for. And again, I don't need a pro, neither do a lot of people. This was not the place to really showcase anything because nobody watches these things in the best 4K blue ray tracing possible. Yeah, there's a lot to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of fun stuff here to look forward to as the rest of this year and early next year starts to flush out a bit with the schedule. So we're kind of getting a better picture, especially as games like Assassin's Creed kind of drop out of it, but also into like the busiest month of 2025 so far. Yeah. Looking forward to some stuff here. Hitman, especially gonna dunk people in the head with fire extinguishers and VR. Mm-hmm. Get some fun out of that. So Lunar will be fun whenever that's out. I think I have the PSP version of at least one of them, if not both. I'd be curious to see how much of an upgrade that is. But Monster Hunter Wild, maybe Lego Horizon Adventures, I don't know. But some fun stuff. So yeah, cool. That'll be I think that'll do it for the show this week.
Yep.
Thank you to Brandon Danner for joining this week.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and things to talk about. If you enjoyed the show, if you let friends and family members check it out, as well as select strangers that also don't play around with people that are being shitty about games with women and all that, because hey, whatever, it's cool.
Yeah. Remember, you're not required to engage with those people. That's what they want. They're basically attention vampires. Don't feed them.
And Twitter makes that a viable business strategy now.
Yeah.
They want your attention to make fun of them for their stupid shit. But let's see. Looking at things that are coming out this week, we have, let's see, oh, this is October, not September. Starfield Shattered Space is out tomorrow. If you're checking that out. Master Detective Archives Rain Code Plus is out for PS5, Xbox, and PC. Throne and Liberty is out PS5 and Xbox on the 1st. As I said, Crypt Master is out on the 3rd, as well as the Picross game. Kill Knights, that game that has the awesome name, is supposed to be out on the 3rd. That's about it. Got some smaller stuff there, but that looks pretty neat. The 4th, okay, yeah. The SpongeBob SquarePants, the Patrick Star game is out this week, so you can check that out. It's the Until Dawn remaster is out this week. I guess there's a remaster of Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel for the Genesis, following the Arrow the Acrobats 2 games. It's like the 3rd game in the series, I guess. So that's cool. If you want to check out more, see the depth of where the animal-based mascot platformer went to.
Yep.
There you go. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.